Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to the 21st Psalm. Amen. Hallelujah. There used to be more people on this side. Now this side is taking over. This side. Amen. I noticed that. Amen. The 121st Psalm. 121st Psalm. That side over there say the first may be last, and the last may be first. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? Amen. First will be last, and last will be first. All right. Are you there yet? 121st Psalm, the Bible says in verse number 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen? This is part two of a message I started last week called Looking in the Wrong Direction. And I know some of you may not have been here, but that's okay. I'm going to bring you up to speed. And also, if you want to look at part two, you can look at it on the Facebook page or the YouTube page, or we'll even make a CD for you if you want us to. Amen? But we found out that looking in the wrong direction, and we found out in the 121st Psalm that God, how much God loves us, how much God cares for us, and the 121st Psalm lets us know that if we find ourselves in need of anything, God is our supplier. Are y'all still with me this morning? I mean, when we find ourselves feeling weary, when we find ourselves feeling stressed, when we find ourselves in a position where we're about to quit or give up, the 121st Psalm reminds us that all we have to do is to look to the hills which cometh our help. And once again, the Bible tells us that our help cometh from the Lord. Are y'all still with me this morning? But when we look to the hills which cometh our help, we cannot look to the hills with our natural eyes. We have to look to the hills with our spiritual eyes. Are y'all still with me? Because I mentioned last week that when you're going through your situations, when you're going through circumstances that seem to get the best of you, your natural eyes are going to still see the situation. Are y'all still with me? But when you look to the hills which come in your help with your spiritual eyes, then you won't see in the natural what you're going through. You'll see a God who sits high and looks low, and who is in position to supply all of your need, regardless of what it is, whether you're weary, whether you're sick, whether you're broke, busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted, abused, or confused. We serve a God who is more than enough. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And the reason why we must look to the hills with our spiritual eyes, because we have an adversary called Satan, or Satan, or the adversary, or the accuser of the brethren. He has so many names in here, amen. And none of his names mean anything, amen, but except loser, amen. He always tried to get us to focus on the things that we see with our natural eyes. And the reason why Satan tries to get us to focus on the things that we see with the natural eyes is because of what I mentioned last week. There is a relationship between your eyes and your mind. Are y'all still with me? There's a relationship with your eyes and your mind, because a lot of people get stressed out in their mind based on what they see with the natural eye. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So Satan is always trying to get us to focus on the natural instead of the spiritual. But as children of the Most High God, okay, who are spirits made in the image and likeness of God, we can focus on the natural. Yes, we're going to go through some things in this world. Yes, Satan is going to attack you in the mind. Yes, he's going to try to cause havoc in your life. That's just what he does. Amen. He's going to do it, but we can't focus on what Satan is doing. We have to focus on what God said about what Satan is doing. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So once again, when we're going through trials, tribulations, situations, and circumstances, we can't focus on them. We have to look to the hills, which cometh our what? Help. And our help cometh from who? The Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And it must come from the Lord. Because many people look for help in the wrong place. And when they look for help in the wrong place, that help never comes. And what happens is that when they look for help in the wrong place and the help doesn't come, they get even more frustrated. They get even more in a stressful situation. And then what happens is that instead of looking up to the hills, which come to help, they start looking down. And how many of you know when you look down, you're looking in the wrong direction? Are y'all still with me this morning? Because when you're looking down, you can't see where you're going. And I mentioned last week, you can't look up and down at the same time, because I tried it. Although you have two eyes, listen, you can't do it. Hey, listen, and if you figure it out, please let me know. Are y'all still with me? So they end up looking in the wrong direction, and that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want you to look to the hills. He wants you to look in the wrong direction, look down, because he knows that if you're looking down, you can't see where you're going. And then what he will do is put a bigger spiritual obstacle in your way. And when you run into that obstacle, boom, now you're in worse shape than you were before you started looking down initially, because you couldn't see it coming. But how many of you know when you look to the hills? Good God Almighty. How many of you know when you look to the hills, which cometh your help? Listen, the one who sits higher than the hill. The one who sits higher than the hill will not only show you what you're facing, but he'll also show you where you've been. He'll show you where you are now. And then he will give you instructions or directions on how to overcome whatever it is that Satan did to you to cause you to look down in the wrong direction. Are y'all still with me? That's the mighty God we serve. That shows God's love for us. We serve a God who loves us unconditionally, who wants us to win in every area of life. That's why we can't focus on the situation. We have to focus on the circumstance. Amen. Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. We can't focus on the situation. We can't focus on the circumstances. We have to look to God. Why? Because God is the creator of heaven and earth. We saw that right here in the 121st Psalm. And not only that, he created you and he created me. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Now, in the 121st Psalm, King David shared some things with us, because he showed us here in the 121st Psalm that when God helps us, and covers up, we are covered at, I like to say, 360 degrees. In other words, when God protects us at 360 degrees, how many know you'll see him? Nothing can get in unless you allow it to. And I'm going to show you how you can allow it to in a few minutes. Amen? But King David said here once again, he said, I will look to the hills which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And then the 121st Psalm, this is a review from last week. The 121st Psalm tells us how God will help us. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, he would not allow thy foot to be moved. Do y'all see that? The NIV says, he will not allow your foot to slip. Have you ever slipped up and fell? I have. Amen. Like, oh. Then you look around, make sure nobody saw you. Some people can relate to what I'm saying, amen. Oh, I did it on purpose. Yeah, okay, right, amen. But the Bible said he would not allow, King James says suffer, that word means allow. He would not allow their foot to be moved. In Ephesians chapter 6:13, the Bible says, listen, after you have done all that you can, do what? Stand. It didn't say slip. It didn't say, well, Satan, I know God has blessed me with this right here. But Satan, I'm just going to move out your way and let you have it. Because maybe you won't, no. Maybe you won't attack me as hard. Listen, he's going to come harder. Why? Because, I got to get the screen this time. When we submit to Satan one time, he realizes that, wait a minute, that looks like a weak, spaghetti, back, easy Christian. And, amen? And when he sees us as a weak, spaghetti back, have you ever tried to stand spaghetti up when it was cooked? It slips, right? Amen. When he sees that we are weak, hey, he's coming with more force. Guess what, principalities? Guess what, powers? Guess what, rulers of the darkness of this world? I have found someone who is easy for me to devour. Spiritual warfare. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But the Bible tells us that in God, he will not allow our foot to be moved. I want you to go over to the 62nd Psalm while you're there. We're going to come back, but I want you to go to the 62nd Psalm. Amen. The 62nd Psalm. Because King David here in the 62nd Psalm, he always shows us how good God is. I want to show you something here. Amen. And I want you to look at what he said. Are y'all still with me? Are you there yet? Amen. Look at what he said here. He said, truly, verse 1, truly my soul waited upon God. In other words, he says, I put patience into operation. Truly my soul waits upon God. From him cometh my salvation. And then he said, he only is my rock and my salvation. Y'all see that? He is my what? My what? 360 degrees of defense. He is my, or let me say it this way, security. He is my defense. And because he is my defense, I shall not be what? Greatly what? Moved. Or I shall not be shaken. I shall not be moved. The song I was trying to sing this morning. Y'all still with me? Amen. And look at verse number 5. He says, my soul, the same thing that he said in verse 1. He said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from who? Him. In other words, David said, listen, I don't expect no one else to help me but God. My friends will say, I got your back. No, they don't have your back. They have your back, all right, because they're going to go and talk behind your back and tell everybody your problems. You know, Kevin called me, man. He said he needs some help. man, I don't know why he called me. I'm going to help him out, though. But listen, I don't want to help him out because I really don't like the brother. But look, I'm going to help him out. But don't tell him I told you. Kevin, you going to help your brother? No. David said, I don't expect no help from nobody else but God. We should expect encouragement from one another. But when you need help, my help comes from where? The Lord. Amen. And look at what he said here. He says, in God, verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my what? Strength and my what? Refuge is in who? God. How many of that word refuge mean security? It means protection. It means sanctuary. It means a lot of other words. Amen. It means, I said shelter. Did I say shelter already? Amen. He said, my refuge is in God. Then he tells us to do what? Trust in him what? At all times. Do y'all see that? I want to make sure we see that. Not with the natural eye, but the spiritual eye. Trusting him how often? See? Because, see, if we see it from a natural point of view, we will just remember, I was trusting the Lord at all times. His praises will continually be in my mouth. And then when Satan comes with a sledgehammer, we don't know what to do. But when I see it from a spiritual point of view, I will know that, yep, I just need to trust in the Lord. The situation seems to be getting the best of me, but I'm just going to trust in the Lord. It's not a great feeling. That's why the Bible says we don't walk by feeling. We walk by what? Faith. It don't seem right. I can't understand it. But I'm going to trust in the Lord because the word of God tells me to trust in the Lord. How often? At all times, regardless of the situation. Regardless of how big or small the problem is, I will trust in the Lord. Because when I trust in the Lord, he will give me direction or direct my path. Y'all still with me this morning? And look at this, what else he said here. He said, you people. Your name right there where it says you people, amen. Pour out your heart before him because God is a refuge for us. Do y'all see that? See? God is a refuge for us. Now, I mean that sounds pretty good, but how is that? Well, you know, Tyrone sung this song this morning in the verses found in Acts chapter 17. You know, in him we do what? In him we do what? Amen. Go to Acts 17. Amen. Welcome to Word of Knowledge Ministry. That's why we use the Bible. Go to Acts 17. You don't even have to guess in here. We'll show it to you. Acts 17. Acts 17. We have to know who our help comes from. Because so many people in this life look for help in all the wrong places. And when they look for help in all the wrong places, they end up looking in the wrong place. They end up walking around looking down, sad, depressed, oppressed. Amen. Are you at 17 yet? I want you to look at verse number 26. We'll start there. Verse 24 says, God that made the world. And then verse 26 says, and he had made of one blood. Are y'all there? Am I going too fast? You know, sometimes I drive in the left lane. I have to slow down. Y'all all right? Amen. Verse 26 says, and had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That tells me right there God is in charge. And then verse 27 says that they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Do y'all see that? Though he be not far from every one of us. Christians, I'm here to tell you this morning that God is not somewhere over the rainbow. God is closer than you think. If you are a Christian, and if you're not one, you can be one today, and it does not cost you anything. But if you are a Christian, he lives in you by the Spirit. You know, the one who searches all the deep things of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then he says here, verse 28, for in him we do what? Live, and what? Move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his what? Offspring. In other words, we related by blood. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. The Bible says we his offspring. So in him we live, we move, we have our being. That tells me that without him we have no life. That tells me before I make a decision on what to do, I need to go to him. That's what that tells me. That tells me that if it was not for him, I would not be who he has created me to be. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, we can't just read scriptures just to be reading them. When we read the scripture, listen, we have to read the scripture as if the word of God is talking directly to us. A lot of people read the Bible as if they're reading a book. No. This rhema. This is the word of God. This book is teaching us every time we open it up and read something. It's a lesson. Why do we think the Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved? Because when you open this Bible, it's teaching us a lesson. But what happens is that we just read it just like it's a regular old book. Just to tell someone, you know, I read chapter 5 last night. Well, what did you get out of it? Well, let me go back and take a look at it again. No. Because Satan is not going to let you read it again before he attack you. Satan getting ready to attack you and Satan, wait a minute, can I go read? Okay, go read chapter 15 again before I attack you. I'm going to give you another chance. No. He's going to try to cause you to, the battle's in the mind, right? He's going to try to call you to forget where you put that Bible at the last time you had it. Are y'all still with me? In him, we need God. And when we find ourselves in trouble, when we find ourselves in a situation that we did not, even if we put ourselves in the situation, we need to look to the Lord, the one who we get our help from. We need to look to the hills, the one who's higher than the hills. Amen? Go back to the 121st Psalm. Amen. I just wanted to go there because y'all was kind of fumbling with that one, so I wanted to make sure you saw it. Amen. In him we live, we move, have our being. So once again, in the 121st Psalm, the Bible tells us how God is going to supply. The Bible says he will not allow our foot to be moved. And then the Bible says in verse 4, in verse 3, he will never slumber. In other words, God doesn't sleep. So you can go to sleep at night. Instead of singing songs like I stay awake at night, but it's all right. No, that's not all right because you got to go to work the next morning. So let God stay awake for you. And then the Bible tells us in verse 4, he doesn't even doze off. You know, some of y'all, he don't even doze. No sleep. Why? Because he always there to provide us 360 degrees of protection. Are y'all still with me? The Bible says in verse 5, he's our keeper. The Bible says in verse 6, whether the sun is out or the moon is out, it doesn't matter. God still protects us at all times. The Bible tells us in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And then verse 8 says, the Lord shall preserve whether you go in or come out. So listen, it doesn't matter where you go or where you're coming. Guess what? God always provides us 360 degrees of protection. Why? Because he knows that the evil one is lurking. And what Satan is trying to do is penetrate. He's trying to penetrate that 300 degrees protection that God has around us. He's trying to get through it. Are y'all still with me? And the only way that Satan can penetrate or get through that 360 degree protection that God protects us with is that we have to give him permission. Yes, he's going to attack you. Yes, we know the mind is the arena of faith. Yeah, he's going to get into your mind and try to mess you up. Yeah, he's going to attack your family. He's going to do the things that he always does. But he will not have any effect on us unless we give him permission to penetrate the 360 degrees of protection that God has around us. Well, Pastor, why would God let him come in? No. God is not letting him in. We let him in. We do it. We let him in. We open the gate for him. Come on in, Satan. God is not going to force anything on us. When we reject God's security, when we reject God's protection, when we reject God from watching over us, we opening the door to let Satan in. In other words, do you have a security system at your house? What's the purpose of it? To secure you. But when you turn it off, what is it going to do for you? Listen, That security system is not going to say, oh, no, you know, don't tell me I'm staying on. Oh, no, you know, I'm going to plug you. No, if you unplug me, I'm still going to stay on. No. Unless you have something I don't have. And we do God the same way. God, I know that you're my provider. I know you're my protection. But can you please just, I want Satan to come in. Listen, you always in my life. Let Satan come in. Just for a little bit. And how many of you know when he comes in, he comes in. Are y'all still with me? Because when he comes in, he not only cause havoc in the little area or the door that you let him come in, he caused havoc in your whole life. Are y'all still with me? You know the old saying about people say, give me an inch, he'll take a mile. No. Satan's going to take more than a mile. Because once he get in there, he's going to attack you in other areas. Because he's already in. I mean, he figured, hey, I'm already in here. I might as well. Y'all pray for Pastor Ron. But when a robber break into let me just say it this way. Y'all pray for Walmart. But if someone broke into Walmart, I hope they don't, but, you know, just say they do. If they break into Walmart, do you think they're just going to go in there and take a pack of cigarettes and go home? They're going to load up the wheelbarrow because they're going to say, I'm already in here. I might as well go ahead and take some more stuff. That's what Satan does in your life. That's what he does in my life because the message is for me also. See, that's one thing about word of knowledge. When we teach messages, it's not just, you know, a lot of amen. A lot of people teach to the congregation. No, it's for me also. See, y'all pray for Pastor Ron. Please pray for Pastor Ron. Please pray for Pastor Ron. That's why we don't have chairs on the stage. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about word of knowledge. That's why I don't have chairs on the stage. So when pastors and elders come in, they can say, I don't like that. Listen, I don't even like to go. When I go to other churches, I don't like to sit on the stage. I don't like to. Now, maybe this is something with Pastor Ron. That's why I say, y'all got to pray for me. Because when I see people on the stage, it just makes me think that they think the word is not for the stage. It's for the people in the congregation. But how many know the word's for all of us? That's why we don't have chairs on the stage. Because the only reason why I'm on the stage is not because I'm doing the teaching. But the word's still for me. Amen. And nothing against any other church. Don't think I'm up here bashing churches. Hey, Pastor Ron said that. No, don't use Pastor Ron's name for your problems. What I'm trying to get across to us is that the word of God is for everybody. Nobody is exempt. Doesn't matter what the title is, how long they've been saved, apostles 15 times 30, it doesn't matter what it is. We're not Jesus. And the word is for all of us. I don't even know where I went there, but I went there. Amen, 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 amen. But when we let Satan in, he's going to cause havoc. And what we have done to let him in is that we have rejected God's protection. Because as long as we're protected, yeah, he might knock at the door. He might bounce at the door. He's going to attack us. But when we let him in, that's when it starts to affect us. Why? Because he's in already. Y'all still with me? And we let him in by opening the gate. And what happens when we open the gate, what we are doing is what the Bible tells us not to do. What we are doing is we are giving him place in our life. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians to neither give place to the devil. And listen to this. Not only does the Bible tell us to neither give place to the devil, the Bible shows us ways that we give him place. So if we avoid those ways that we give him place, then we will not give him place. But when we do not avoid those ways that we give in place, we're giving in place, whether we want to admit it or not. It doesn't matter how long the person's been saved. It does not matter. If we give Satan an inch, he's coming in, and he's going to attack us in other areas, and we're going to be worse off than we were before we had to look to the hills to come out here the first time. Well, Pastor, how do we give him place? Because the Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. We're going to start there. Amen. I'm looking at the clock because, amen, I got a certain place I want to get to today. Amen. I have 29 minutes. See how fast time flies when you're having fun? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Nothing against people who sit on the stage. I have nothing against them. I just don't like to do it. Amen. Because it's giving the impression that the word is for the people in front of the pastor, not behind it. Y'all still with me? Nothing against if it's streaming online. I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about Pastor Ron. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you there yet? Look at verse number 27. What did that say? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Neither give place to the who? Devil. What that tells me, number one, is the devil cannot have any place in my life unless I give it to him. Now, he can attack me, but he can't have any place in my life unless I give it to him. Because my life don't even belong to me. It belongs to God. Y'all still with me? My body doesn't even belong to me. It belongs to God, because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Y'all still with me? And then the Bible tells us how people give him place. Look at verse number 25. It says, wherefore, put away what? Well, when you're lying, you're giving him place in your life. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then the Bible says, be ye what? Angry and sin what? Now, when we sin, we're giving him place in our life. And you know, it's really amazing. Well, I've heard people, you know, over the years, the Bible say, be angry, see at night. I'm gonna be angry though. I'm gonna be angry. Because the Bible told me I can be angry like I don't sin. But I'm gonna be angry. How many of you know most people when they get angry, they sin? I know I do. That's why I try not to be angry. Most people get angry, they curse people out. But if they was not angry, they wouldn't curse them out. Well, then again, I don't know, maybe some people would. I don't know. But when we are angry and when we sin, we're giving him place. Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. We look at the word stole and steal, we think about something tangible. But you know, you can steal from people. It don't have to be tangible. Oh, yeah, you can steal from people. It don't have to be tangible. Give you a good example. Let's say, for instance, I use Jasmine this morning. Let's say the word Jasmine. I'm not going to call you up here. Amen. But let's say that Jasmine did a good deed, and you just happened to be with her when she did all the work. And then when people are like, hey, you know, this is nice. Who did this? Now you, who didn't do much, you want to take, oh, yeah, it was just me and Jasmine, we did it. You're still in her glory. Because you don't even want to get out of bed to help. You got up with a grudge. Oh, all right, Jeremy, we did this yesterday, but if you will, you know, nevertheless, if you tell me to throw out my net, like Jesus told Peter, said, nevertheless, Jesus, we've been fishing all day long, but if you want me to throw out my net, that's what I do. Yeah, you can steal from people. It don't have to be tangible. We see, that's the problem. We think too much natural, physical. Y'all stay with me. Let's keep going. He says, 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your what? How many know corrupt communication is examples when you're talking behind people's back? That Deisha, she just thinks she all that. Then when you see her, hey Deisha, how you doing? When you're talking bad about someone to someone else is corrupt communication. Because now you are starting, when I say you, I don't mean just you, I'm talking about me also. Now we're starting a snowball. Now I'm bringing someone else into my negative mess. You know, Pastor Janice did Bible study on Wednesday night, and she said, a lot of times when people start talking negative, she said, just say something positive, and they'll stop talking. See, she don't think I'll be listening to her messages, but I do. Y'all still with me? When you talk positive, people will stop talking, and they'll just look at you, because guess what? They don't know what to say. Are y'all still with me? But when we allow corrupt communication to come out of our mouth, and I can get deeper into that, but I don't have time today, we are giving Satan place in our life. Are y'all still with me? And then the Bible says in verse 30, and grieve not the what? Holy Spirit of God, because you are sealed until the day of redemption. He sealed you. He the one that gave you the seal of approval. And when they see grieve the Holy Spirit, sometimes people try to get too spiritual. Well, the Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But they don't even know what it means. Let me share it to you this way. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? One of the roles. To lead us and guide us into all truth. Jesus called him the helper. Right? Yes? No? Maybe so? He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And he will provide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit has a job, but he doesn't get paid. So a role to play in my life, in your life. When we does not allow him to do that, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're making him sad. Why? Because he knows that if we do not allow him to lead and guide us, we're going to end up in a bad situation. What the Bible is telling me to do is that I need to follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one. Notice I didn't say it is the one. Notice I didn't say they are the one. He, the third person of the Trinity, he is the one that God sent back to lead and guide me into all truth. In other words, when I dismiss him, Holy Spirit, I don't need you today. You stay home. You've been with me for 6 days. You stay in today. I'm going out by myself. Guess what? We're letting down the protection. And Satan is going to cause havoc in our life. Are y'all still with me? And I told you, one of the ways that he does it is he causes people to focus on the natural instead of the spiritual. And how many of you know when we find ourselves in a situation like that, we need help. And our help only comes from God. Satan wants us to focus on the natural instead of the spiritual. And the reason for that is because of two words that I gave you last week, and I told you that you cannot forget these two words regardless of what happens in your life. Does anyone remember what these two words were? Thank you, sir. Spiritual and warfare. Thank you. Amen. See, some of y'all didn't think deacons listened, did you? You thought deacons just walked around and cleaned up. Nah, look at him. He listened to the word. Listen, he said, I can do my responsibility, fulfill my responsibility, but I can still get the word. Amen. Spiritual and warfare. You can never forget those words. And the reason why we can never forget those words is because that is what we are engaged in, a spiritual warfare. And I also mentioned last week, when we talk about spiritual warfare, there are at least two things that always happens in spiritual warfare. Always happens. Anyone remember where they are? Casting down and taking thoughts into captivity. Thank you, sir. Always happens in spiritual warfare. There's some casting down, and there are some taking thoughts into captivity. The question is, who is doing the casting down? And who is taking the thoughts into captivity? Let me tell you what I mean by that. What I mean by that is that what Satan wants to do to us, he wants to cast us down. In other words, put us in a position where we are so low that we are miserable. And we start looking in the wrong direction. And he wants to put our thoughts into mental captivity bondage. What's wrong with that is that instead of we allowing him to do it to us, we should be doing it to him. We should be casting him down. We should be putting the thoughts that he put into our heads into captivity. But many Christians allow the opposite to happen. They allow Satan to cast them down and put them into mental captivity. And the reason why it happens is because, once again, we focus on the natural instead of the spiritual. That's a tragedy. Are y'all still with me? We have to take control. Well, how do we do it? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. We looked at this last week. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We have to get him down, not allow him to put us down. How do we do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. 18 minutes. Time is moving on. I'm good, Ronnie. I'm good. Amen. Man, I'm glad they got that clock up there. Are you 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I asked a question last week. And the question I asked, and we're going to read this. Let's read it first. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start with verse number 3. Last week we started with verse 1. I want to start with verse 3 today for the second time. This is Apostle Paul talking here. He said, for though we walk or live in the flesh, in the world, we do not war after the flesh. Then he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not physical of this world, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you all see that? Amen. I asked a question last week. Who in this series of scripture right here, who is the Bible telling to cast down imaginations and bring the thoughts into captivity? And people said, it's telling us to do it. And I told us last week, that's not what the scriptures say. And some of y'all got ready to run out of the church when I said that. Some of the streamers got ready to turn off the stream. But when you look at this series of scripture, it never tells us to do anything. And the problem for Christians, now stay with me, because I'm gonna clean it up. I know it's a little messy right now for those of you who were not here. Those of you who were here, I know you already know because you should have studied this over the week. Amen. I take my glasses off so I can see no one's face. Everybody look blurry when I take my glasses off. Amen. But the Bible says here, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, But the weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. And the weapons do the casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And the weapons are the ones that bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I said the only way that we can do it is that we have to connect ourselves to the weapons. Amen. Now listen to this. I like the King James Version. I like the King James Version because the King James Version puts the emphasis on the weapons. There are other translations out there, and perhaps some of you might have them, but Paul talks about, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling of strongholds. And then he says, we cast down imaginations, and we bring thoughts into captivity. Amen. And see, if you're not careful, when you read those other translations, you will miss the point. Because what Paul is saying here, yeah, we do it, but we cannot do it without the weapons. Are y'all still with me? He said the weapons do it. The weapons do it. Why? Because the weapons are not physical weapons. The weapons are spiritual weapons. And when I go up against spiritual warfare, I can't go up with physical weapons. I have to go up against with spiritual weapons. That's the only way I'm going to come out on top. But for so long, Christians read that verse and they say, oh, God, tell me to cast down imagination and every high thing, and I'm going to do it. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, that same thought that they cast down is right back in their head. And the reason for that is because they tried to do it with their own power instead of using the weapons. Spiritual warfare. And Satan knows that. That's why he wants to focus on the natural instead of the spiritual. We said we're elevating our spiritual growth. Didn't we say that for year 2022? And that's exactly what we're going to do. He said the weapons. Are y'all still with me? Because the Bible says that casting down imaginations, verse 5, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And I told you last week, knowledge, I like to say truth. Okay. The Bible says people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I believe that's like saying people are destroyed for lack of the truth. Because Jesus said, if you continue into my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set free, but make free. Y'all still with me? Amen. But what Satan tries to do is that Satan tried to exalt himself, his lies, into the minds of Christians. To make Christians question the Word of God. They start doubting the Word of God because Satan told some lie in their mind. And when we use the weapons will help us to take those thoughts into captivity so their thoughts will obey the Word of God. In other words, into obedience. To the obedience of Christ. We have to use the weapons. If we do not use the weapons, we're not going to cast down anything. And we're not taking anything into captivity. We cannot do it because we have to use the spiritual weapons. Well, Pastor, what are the spiritual weapons? How many of you know? I'm glad you asked that question. God has given us spiritual weapons. And those with spiritual weapons, they always win. Number one, prayer is a spiritual weapon. The Bible says in Luke 18:1 that man should always do what? Pray and not faint or not give up. That's a spiritual weapon. Let me ask you a question. Can you see prayer? Can you see it? Did you just see prayer run around the corner? Well, if you can't see it, that means it can't be a physical weapon. It's a spiritual weapon. Yeah, you pray, you speak out of your mouth, but it's spiritual. Things happen in the spirit world when you pray. Are y'all still with me? How many of you know not only is prayer a spiritual weapon, but listen, faith is a spiritual weapon. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for those of you taking notes. It's a spiritual weapon. Let me ask you a question. Can you see faith? That means it's not physical. It's spiritual. It's a weapon of our warfare. It's a weapon. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. The God kind of faith. Now, if I say, well, I have faith Ronald's going to be here at 1:30. That's not the God kind of faith. I'm just telling you, I'm having faith in him. But when I have faith in God, I would know that regardless of what situation I find myself in, God will deliver me. Why? Because he protects me with 360 degrees of protection, and all I have to do is just, instead of looking in the wrong direction, just look to the hills, which come in my help coming from the Lord. Are y'all still with me? How many of you know that, listen, the name of Jesus is a spiritual weapon? How many of you know demons tremble at the sound of that name? Are y'all still with me? The Bible says the name of Jesus is above all names. Proverbs 18:10. I know I'm going from the phrase. Y'all can write these down, or you can look at it again on the screen. 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. And it's what? Safe, protection, security. Just the name. There's something about the name. When you call the name of Jesus, it's a testimony. And Satan don't like that testimony. Because even in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, I believe the Bible says they overcame them. By the what? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the what? Word of their what? Testimony. What a mighty God we serve. See, you got weapons. And we don't even use the weapons. We'd rather stay in the bed for a whole week. Oh, me, oh, my. Lord, why you let this happen? Why it's got to be me? Well, maybe you're not using the weapons. How many of the weapons would not do us any good if we do not use it? Are y'all still with me? You want some more? Don't you know that the word of God is a weapon? This is the Bible calls it in Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the what? Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. If you look at that word, spirit, it's capitalized. I'm not going there for the sake of time. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. You know what that tells me? See, we are the sword of the Spirit. But you know what that tells me? That tells me that if the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, that tells me the Holy Spirit, this is what he uses to bring back to my remembrance. So when Satan tells me a lie, the Holy Spirit reminds me of what the sword says. It's my spiritual sword. And it's the Holy Spirit's sword. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is all about the word. Jesus even said himself, he said, the Holy Spirit will testify of me. And Jesus said, I don't speak of myself, I speak of the Father. So the Father, you know, speaks to Jesus. Jesus tells the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us. And all we have to do is just speak it over the situation by faith. I can't speak the word and say, well, Father, I know your word says this, but I'm just going to wait and see what happens. No, you didn't speak the word. You spoke it out of your mouth, but you didn't speak it spiritually. It's so it works. Spiritual weapon. Yes, I know this is physical, a book, but I even know there's three forms of the word. Anybody want to help me? What's that? The spoken word, the written word, word made flesh. Spiritual weapon. You want another one? Praise is a spiritual weapon. We're praising God. You want to know it? Worship is a spiritual weapon. And we don't do it when it's, you know, after we've overcome the situation. We do it while we're going through the storm. You want to know it? Fasting is a spiritual weapon. You know, Pastor Janet started a 40-day fast, you know, for the women. She said, anybody can join in. you know, I just wonder how many people actually participated in the fast. I just wonder. I nothing against nobody, no pressure, but I just wonder how many people actually participate in the fast. And the thing about it is that, you know, she kind of didn't make it too hard for us. You know, certain days you can eat certain things. I mean, you can kind of eat something every day, really. But how many people actually participate? I mean, you ain't got to raise your hand. I'm just wondering. Praying. It's the how many people. Because don't you know when you fast, you're getting your body and your flesh out of the way. And you can communicate better with God because you don't have any distractions. Spiritual weapon. But we don't use the weapons, Chris. We do not use the weapons. And then we wonder why we can't cast down. Get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus, you know what Satan says? When we don't use the weapons, he said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who in the hell are you? Pastor Ron cursed. Oh, y'all said worse words than that. And hell is translated a Greek word, Hades, which is a place where departed spirits go who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not a bad word, but I'll tell you, it's a bad place. Are y'all still with me? So instead of people connecting to the weapons and casting down Satan's thoughts and taking his thoughts, casting down those negative imaginations, and taking his thoughts into captivity, they are allowing him to throw them down and put them in mental captivity where they can't sleep, they can't eat, they have a headache, they don't know what to do. Well, Christians, what do you do when you're in a situation? What do? Well, you do what King David did in the 121st Psalm. You look to the hills, which cometh your help. Your help cometh from what? The Lord. You do what Jehoshaphat did. What did he do? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Go to 2 Chronicles, amen. And then I'm going to close. I got about four minutes, amen. Clock say 3, but I'm going to give myself another minute. 4 minutes, amen. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Because you know what Jehoshaphat did? He put the weapons into operation. He put them in operation, every one of them. Or most of them that I just named. I'm going to show you. Y'all just stay with me. Amen. I got about 2 minutes, about 3 minutes, but I need about 7. Is that all right with y'all? If I take 7? Can I take 7? Amen. I know we used to spend longer than that at the club. Amen. So, you know, you can give me 7. Second Chronicles. Because I want to show you this. I know, you know, a lot of people know about Jehoshaphat. They was going to attack him. And, you know, the Bible fell on this guy named Jehaziel. He said, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord. I know most people know that. But I want to point out some things here to you. That Jehoshaphat did, amen, 2 Chronicles. I'm almost there. 2 Chronicles. You have to look to the hills. You have to use the weapons. Chapter 20, where are you? Chapter 20, I don't have much time. Where are you? Chapter 20, here it is right here. Amen. Are y'all there yet? So Jehoshaphat was told that they were getting ready to be attacked from different directions. North, south, east, west. The Amorites, the Moabites, all these guys going to attack Jehoshaphat. And look at what Jehoshaphat did. The Bible says, tells us in verse number 3. Let's just start there. Well, let's start with verse 2. It said, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedda. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? Seek the Lord. And proclaim the what? Spiritual weapon. Throughout all Judah. He didn't just say, I'm going to fast myself. He said, I want the whole Judah to do it. Just like Word of Knowledge, when we're going to fast, we like for everyone to do it with us. We know you don't have to, but when there's a church fast, you know, we like for everyone, because it's a corporate to participate, but you don't have to. Amen, amen, amen. How many know there's something about being on one accord? Think I'm joking. Ask the apostles who was in the upper room waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. That's another lesson. Y'all stay with me. Amen. So then the Bible says, and Judah, verse 4, gathered themselves, what? Together, on one accord, to do what? Ask help of who? Notice what they did not do. Notice they didn't go to Jehoshaphat and say, Jehoshaphat, what are we going to do? No, they got together because they realized that their help comes from who? The Lord. The Bible says, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and he said, O Lord God of our fathers. What is he doing? What? Spiritual weapon. Amen. He prayed. And then he said, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdom of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power? What is he doing? He's reverencing him, praising him for who he is. Spiritual weapon. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Stay with me. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Stay with me. Please don't go to sleep. Please, you know, God never sleep or slumber. He never doze. Please don't doze yet. I want you to stay with me. Amen. And look what the Bible says here in verse 7. It says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people? In other words, he is telling God, God, listen, you did it before. I know you can do it again. Look at verse 9. He says, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand. We do what? Notice he said we slip. Or we move over and say, now, you know, I just can't handle this. You go ahead and take that. I'm just going to move over here. No. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Are y'all still with me? He said, we stand in thy presence for what? Thy name is in this house. How many know there's power in the name? Spiritual weapon. And then he said, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou will hear and do what? Help. The Bible says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And woman availeth much. When we pray to God in sincerity, he hears our prayers. And guess what? When we ask him for help, we look to the hills, which cometh our help. Our help coming from the Lord. Y'all stay with me. Amen. And then he said here, and now behold, the children of God, I'm in a bad situation. I'm just paraphrasing. He said, I'm in a bad situation. They're coming from all directions. They're going to try to attack us. And then he said, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have what? Y'all stay with me. Don't go to sleep yet. We have what? Not by power, not by might, but by my what? Spirit, said the Lord. He said, we don't have any might against this great multitude, great company. Neither know we what to do, but what? Our eyes are upon who? You tell me Jehoshaphat ain't a smart man. Jehoshaphat said, I'm going through this situation. They're attacking my family. They're attacking my finances. I need a job. I just can't make ends meet, although they don't meet. God, I don't know what to do. But look what happened. And Judah, verse 13, stood before the Lord with their little children, their wives, and their big children. Then upon a guy by the name of Jehaziah, the Bible says, came the Spirit of the Lord. Do y'all see that? Notice who came. The Holy Spirit showed up. Because, see, the enemy in this situation, Chris, y'all got to see this in the spiritual. The enemy is getting ready to come in like a flood. Y'all still with me? But the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 59, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard. God. Good God. I'm talking about the Word of God. That's why we got to study the Word. So the Holy Spirit said, verse 15, who said? Isn't this the same one that God uses to reveal all the deep things to us? You know, we said, you know, the eyes haven't heard and the ears haven't heard, but God has revealed them by the Spirit. Because the Spirit searches the deep things of God and he revealed them to us. The Spirit said to them, Hearken, you all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you too, King Jehoshaphat. This saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's whose? That's why you got to look to the hills, we'll come in your help. See, when you go through situations, it's not your battle. It's spiritual warfare. That's why you need spiritual weapons. He said, the battle is not yours, it's God's. And then he gave them some instructions. He said, tomorrow, see, we don't get this far. We don't get this far. We give up before the Holy Spirit gives us some instructions. He says, tomorrow, I want you to go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Z. I'll tell you, God even let you know where they are. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruah. Christian, listen, you got to catch this. I'm getting ready to close. Because this is good. Listen. Holy Spirit told them where the enemy was going to be just so they would know, because they still don't have to do any fighting. He just wants them to know where the enemy is coming from. Well, why would he want them to know? Let me tell you why he wants them to know, and I'm going to prove it to you in a second. Because when God deal with them, the enemy, he wants them to be there to see it. When God dealt with them, he wants them to be there to see it. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Amen, amen, amen. He said, after he told them where it was going to be, verse 17, you should not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves. Stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Christians, I'm almost, please stay with me. Amen. Look at verse 18. You got to see this. So listen, notice at the beginning of the chapter, Jehoshaphat was a little worried because he got the news. See, sometimes when you get negative news, it might hit you all of a sudden. It might catch you off guard. But when you realize who you serve, when you realize who's sitting high in the hill, then you get out. You can say, wait. What am I doing in fear for? The Bible says God did not give me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let me get myself together here and put all these spiritual weapons and start using these weapons. Amen? So look at what it did. After he was afraid, now since the Holy Spirit, he took time to wait on the Holy Spirit. You know, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He waited on the Holy Spirit. Now look at what they're doing here. The Bible says, and Jehoshaphat in verse 18 bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and did what? Spiritual weapon. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohites stood up to do what? A form of worship. Amen. And then the Bible says, I'm almost done. And verse 20 said, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. I can see Jehoshaphat with his chest stuck off there now because he knows it's over. Amen. Look, he said, hear me, O Judah, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed what? Unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endured forever. Christians, I'm getting ready to close. But notice they sung before the situation was taken care of. See, we got people that come to church in the world today, and they told the press they can't even lift their hands to the Lord. But they sung, why? Because they know where the help was coming from. When you read the rest of that, you will find out that when they got there, the people were already dead. God already took care of the battle before they even got there. You tell me we don't serve a mighty God. Somebody stand to your feet and give God a hand of praise because he's worthy. Christians, I'm here to tell you, I know I went a little overtime, maybe 5 minutes, maybe seven, maybe eight. I'll make it up to you one day. But I'm here to tell you, it does not matter what you're going through, what you've been through. Listen, it does not even matter how you got there. In many cases, we put ourselves in the situation because sometimes we think we know more than God knows. And we make decisions without even asking him what he wants us to do. And we find ourselves in a place where we are looking down, sad, broke, busted, disgusted, can't be trusted, abused, and confused. I told you that you cannot forget you in a spiritual warfare. But I also want to remind you that Jesus is Lord.